Like probably so many of you, I came across a bunch of TikToks these past couple weeks.
Have you seen this thing? It's going around the internet. I don't know what's true and what's not. The Sasha Riley thing.
So I went on Substack and I listened to the interview with the trafficked man. Worse than everyone imagined. Very, very, very troubling and scary.
When the testimony came out just in the last few days, that's when they pump up the Minnesota. Get everybody to look over there. They're supposed to be graveyards filled with missing kids. And no one knew who they were. I know, I sound like a crazy person, I know. But it's not. There is a testimony, Sasha Riley. I ask people to go and investigate and listen to it yourself.
I have had more than one encounter with Trump, and that's why I tried to kill that other, because he is a monster. It's why I have not shut up about just how absolutely abhorrent he is as a human being, and it's why I tried to kill him.
The interview that has gone viral was on Substack and was conducted by a lady named Lisa Noelle Volding, which I will link below for those of you who are interested in listening to the whole thing. The interview is with William Sasha Riley, who I believe just goes by Sasha Riley now. They are a military veteran and they have some very strong accusations about some very powerful people. The interview is hours and hours long, and it is very, very dark and troubling and upsetting, but I think it is very important that we listen to it. It is worth noting that none of this has been verified, but I believe that it is really worth investigating and should be taken seriously. Sasha uses they, them pronouns, so I will be referring to them as that moving forward. They were born in 1973 and has said that their abuse began before they even knew what that meant. According to Sasha, at age 4, they were adopted, but less into a family and more into an operation. They allege that their adopted father, William Kyle Riley, used adoption as a legal front for child trafficking, and that his role in this operation included flying clients and victims by aircraft.
I know that he was around Epstein and worked with Epstein, and I want to say that he flew for Epstein, and if not for Epstein directly, transporting Epstein himself, he did transport some of the rich people to and from these parties that Epstein and company hosted.
And we do know that his father's name was on the Epstein list. Here is a clip from a TikToker who has done some amazing investigative work into the Sasha Riley story, as well as just the Epstein story as a whole.
This is William Kyle Riley, and I'm gonna try not to cry as I say this, but he and his newest wife, Cindy, and with everything in my body, I am hoping that this 6-year-old child does not live with them, even though they clearly have a room. But I did in fact confirm that William Kyle Riley is a pilot.
Sasha describes a childhood defined by constant physical and sexual abuse. By the age of 6 or 7, they say that they were trafficked by relatives. By around age 10, they recall being taken to multi-day large gatherings in rural farms and rural properties, often tied around federal holidays or long weekends.
It was multiple farms, and they would have like a building, you know, a house, and they would usually have like a tent set up. It was almost like a little, I don't want to say a fair. It wasn't that big. They didn't have rides or anything, but it was a kind of a coordinated deal.
According to Sasha, these events followed a consistent structure. The early days were designed to appear somewhat socially acceptable, I guess. And those days involved drugs, alcohol, gambling, adult sex workers, and bare knuckle fighting. But as the days went on, the number of attendees decreased, and the violence, it escalated.
The parties would go on for multiple days. Some of the people that attended the party, possibly even people like Clarence Thomas or Lindsey Graham, may have been involved in lesser things, but then were also at the same time and place where these more horrible things happened, but they didn't necessarily participate in those more horrible things.
Sasha says by the final days, only a very small group of men remained. They claim to have encountered Donald Trump multiple times in the early to mid 1980s.
Donald Trump was the big boss, and then Epstein was like you said, like the manager or something.
Sasha describes Trump as taking pleasure not only in SA, but in terrorizing victims psychologically, intentionally escalating fear before abuse.
What his is, I guess if you want to call it that, is watching people suffer. He wanted me to have with him, so he lay down on his stomach. There was a wooden tent stake that was in the room, and I had been eyeballing it as a weapon. And what I did was put the condom on the wooden tent stake, put it inside of him, and I kicked it as hard as I could. And that's why he had to get life flighted out, because I ripped him open.
And not that this verifies that story, but it is known and has been known for quite a while that Trump smells.
His nickname was Wet Wipes.
He would often soil himself on The Apprentice set. He's incontinent. His are uncontrollable. He's worn diapers since probably the 90s, but I saw it firsthand in the 2000s on Celebrity Apprentice and late 2000s, and we'd have to stop the show and change it.
And then when I started reading about this and just thinking about it and taking a step back, why couldn't someone just be able to track down the hospital records of when Donald Trump, if Donald Trump went to the hospital to see what the procedure was or what had happened to verify if this story was true? You know, like maybe there's internal bleeding, like there has to be some sort of record that would say what had happened to Donald Trump. But then I remember that same doctor randomly got raided and fired for exposing that Donald Trump took Propecia.
I couldn't believe anybody was making a big deal about a drug that's to grow his hair, which seemed to be so important.
And what exactly were they looking for?
All his medical records, his pictures, anything they could find.
Throughout Sasha's childhood, they allege that there was multiple deliberate attempts on their life. They believe that as they got older and harder to control, that they were no longer seen as a valuable asset, but more as a liability. You know, a child who had witnessed violence, survived way too much, and could eventually expose the people that were involved.
They had the incident in Texas involving the Chevy van. There was another instance in Texas where my dad threw me into the middle of a pool and said sink or swim, and somebody saw it and called the sheriff, so there was a police report on that. And then there was a third instance in Texas where my dad threw me down a flight of stairs, and that one fractured my skull. Now there may have been other things that happened as well, but I remember those three were enough that they generated an investigation.
Sasha has said while serving in the military, they were called in by a captain and questioned about a sexually explicit video that they were in as a child.
Somebody that I served with in the Army got put out of the Army. My chain of command talked to me and they said, hey, you know, some of these images, some of the films or whatever that he had looked just like you. And that was the first time I think I had ever talked to anybody about having done those films. And I told them, yes. When I was a child, I had to do those things.
And I found a TikToker who actually reached out to the captain via Facebook to verify this is true. Let me play that clip now.
I introduced myself and asked if he would confirm that he was the commanding officer at Fort Carson. He corrected me that he was the first sergeant, not the commanding officer. I asked if he would confirm the existence of the video mentioned. I did not see the video, but was in the room when the commander asked him if he was in a video.
And then the same TikToker found this.
A tipster led me to this Denver Post article from 2009 that shows two Carson soldiers arrested on CP charges. So this, along with my interview with First Sergeant Bayless, who confirmed that the conversation did take place about these materials and Sasha being a part of them.
As an adult, Sasha has attempted to report their abuse to police and federal authorities, and they allege that no meaningful investigation has taken place. Sasha has spoken about their experiences prior to 2025, but for a long time, these statements seemed to exist only in the margins, and the conversations unfortunately didn't travel far. Here is a post he made in 2021 on his Facebook page. What changed more recently wasn't the story, but the scale. These much longer audio recordings began circulating more widely, and they have gone completely viral. And of course, that kind of visibility has brought a whole nother level of scrutiny. I actually read in a forum that since the interview dropped, Sasha has left the states for their safety, which is very smart. I do have to say that some people are speculative.
What they're doing is trying to set up a scenario where these new documents have a bunch of really ugly, ugly things in them about Trump beyond what we've heard, so that people would share them and that it would get out there. And then they would come and prove that these things that they created themselves, that these things, these stories were false. And then they would say that everything's false. That stuff's false. See, it was a setup. Everything's false.
My opinion is that even if Sasha's story is false, none of this discredits the many people who have come before them and who have been brave enough to share their story. Their voices existed long before this moment, and they deserve to be taken seriously on their own terms.
We are not asking for pity. We are here demanding accountability and I'm demanding justice.
Sasha has been clear about something from the beginning. They're not asking for the internet to just believe them without question.
If we can get some of this stuff verified, you know, and I know that me speaking up is one thing, but then the verification process, you know, is important too.
Sasha has agreed to take a polygraph and really has nothing to gain by coming forward with these allegations. If anything, they have much, much more to lose. Another side bit that I thought about is Donald Trump is very Sue-friendly, but no lawsuits have happened yet. When I decided to make this video, I must admit, I was very nervous and sat on it for a week or two. But my channel has always been about platforming voices that need to be heard, and I believe that Sasha's story is important and that we should listen. And what I kept coming back to is all of this could just be put to rest if they just released the files. Give us the truth. Give the victims the truth so they can at least start to feel some sort of justice. If Sasha is not telling the truth, let us see that with our own eyes. It's as easy as that. Or is it? There is so much more in the audio interview that I was not able to cover in this video. Let me know in the comments below if you'd like me to continue covering this case. There could unfortunately be a whole part two about what I was not able to include in this video from the interview, so let me know if you'd like that as well. And if you have any other video ideas you'd like to see me dive deep into future videos, please email me at matthewlcullen@gmail.com. Thank you so much for watching today's video, and I will see you soon. Okay, bye.